0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the final match day of 2024. The gap at the top now sits at 14 points as Rangers draw 2-2 at Motherwell in an incident-packed game at Fir Park. Celtic kept up their end of the bargain with a very comfortable win and rotated team against St Johnstone. There were big wins for the likes of Dundee United, Dundee and Hibs, with a late kick in the teeth for struggling Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening, man of the match from Fir Park yesterday, so I'm led to believe, incredible Andy Halliday alongside Roger Hannah.
And it was an incredible Super Sunday to bring the curtain down in the Premiership in 2024. Celtic finish a year, Gordon, 14 points clear at the top. Rangers end it with just 1 point from the trips to Paisley and Motherwell. Aberdeen end it 8 games without a win. Hibs 5 wins from 6. Hearts lost goals 97 and 99 minutes, and they're back in that Premiership drop zone. And we couldn't get ready for the bells without wringing our hands at the latest VAR chaos. So last show of 2024, a happy new year to you all when it comes.
Seriously, man of the match yesterday.
Yeah, it was nice.
Thought you didn't try against Rangers. Oh, some of the accusation.
It was a Rangers TV man of the match.
As you said though, incident packed Sunday. I'm sure there's going to be an incident packed show tonight. Loads to talk about. None more so than Kevin Clancy robbing me my fourth goal of the season, I must say. And the countdown's on, 360 days till Christmas. Can't wait already.
Brilliant. 0141 951 1025. How are you? What are you thinking tonight? It is the final Clyde One Super Scoreboard of 2024. It has been an absolute joy and a privilege all year long, so let's see it out in style. We might even try and all get along. I know there are a few contentious issues, but let's keep it friendly. Let's keep it jovial. One final time for the year. Rangers fans, where's it going wrong? Because about a week ago, I don't know, 2 weeks ago when these two were on, everything was potentially looking rosy and you're all getting excited. What's happened since then? Where did it go wrong at Fir Park yesterday? Where does this leave the title race, if there is one? Where does this leave Philippe Clement now within the game at Fir Park? I can't believe Andy Halliday's even mentioned that should be his goal. I think most people forget that he took the corner, but we can get to that. Jack Butland incident, Lennon Miller, handballs, KMI panels have had their say, all that stuff in there as well. I think there clearly is a bigger picture for lots of you Rangers fans out there who are feeling frustrated, to say the least. Celtic fans, how good were you minus Callum McGregor on evidence of what you saw yesterday? Now, clearly it was top v bottom. It was supposed to be a comfortable afternoon, but it was a really comfortable afternoon. So what did you make of it? What impressed you? Any food for thought ahead of the game against Rangers on Thursday? And anyone else, what are you thinking? Motherwell fans, you sure played your part at Fir Park yesterday. Is there such a thing as a frustrating point against one of the big two? I mean, you were 2-0 up at half time in the cold light of day. Does it still feel like a good point, or does it feel like a missed opportunity given the way the game transpired? And we'll do the lot. Dundee fans, Dundee United, you'll be happy. St Mirren fans, how do you predict a result in this league? Honestly, you go from beating Rangers on Boxing Day to that performance, or result I should say, more than anything yesterday. And so much to get through. The final show of the year. Join in, please. 0141 951 1025. To set the tone again for one final time, result of the weekend, please.
I'll kick us off then. I'm going to go for Dundee. And my result of the weekend, last time I was on the show, was Ross County at the expense of Dundee. So as you quite rightly pointed out, it's very difficult to predict a result in the Scottish Premiership just now. And I was really surprised that Dundee went and got the job done against a St Mirren team who are flying, especially on the back of that Boxing Day victory over Rangers.
A great day for the City of Discovery, so I'll go for Dundee United. A bit of drama, stoppage time against their old New Firm rivals, Aberdeen. Kevin Holt, header, Will Ferry, long throw. They're doing well. They're up there, they're breathing down Aberdeen's neck. And a newly promoted side in the European places at New Year. Fair play to them.
Incredible. Was that the game? No, we were off air by then. There was a goal at the weekend that we had to describe to Hugh Keevans what people mean when they say limbs. because he'd never heard the phrase before.
I'd imagine it could have been the Dundee game, but
it was some good celebrations in that one. Right, go on then. What's usually next, your goal of the weekend?
Oh, it's an obvious one for me. I'm going to go for Tawanda Maswanisi. I only actually just learnt how to pronounce his full name yesterday.
What's it you call him again?
JT. He's been JT for a few months. So, I mean, what a fantastic goal. It wasn't the prettiest on the eye with how it was designed and the build-up of it. But as soon as the ball got nodded down to JT, wow. A bit of improvisation, the ability to turn on that swivel on the outside of the foot and then just open his instep up and just call it into the far post.
I'm glad you mentioned it, because much like we do with results straight away, and I can see the three of them in the studio yesterday, the sort of natural reaction because of the food chain here is to just talk about, oh, what did Rangers do wrong there? Or what about Rangers defending, when actually he's plucked one out there, cut back and caressed a wee finish into the corner. So
to take that touch and do almost a 180 degree turn with outside of your foot, it would have taken me a solid 3-4 seconds. The fact he managed to do
and
it,
how long to recover from the injury,
and then another 2-3 seconds back. So the fact that he managed to do that in just a split second, not let a Rangers player react, and we actually see the finish, the ball's in between his feet, he does so well to open that and step up, as I said, and just caress it into the far post. It was a fantastic goal.
Your goal of the weekend, Roger? I'm not convinced you had loads to choose from.
No, I'm going to go for the same game, similar goal, not JT but HI. Hamza Egamani, a second of the two.
That was a good goal, actually.
Good goal.
Okay, howler of the weekend.
Oh, I mentioned Dundee United's win over Aberdeen. The howler has to be these cretins throwing vodka bottles, coins, lighters, missiles at Jim Goodwin. Not just Jim Goodwin, the Dundee United bench, the linesman, the fourth official, anyone in the vicinity. Just don't come back to the football, you're not wanted.
See, that's the beauty of the howler of the week. It can be jovial, it can be tongue-in-cheek, it can be entirely serious when a point needs to be made. What are you going for? Let me guess.
Yeah, can you have a guess?
Robbed you of a goal, apparently.
Kevin Clancy, fourth goal of the season.
So are you claiming that as a shot on target from the corner?
Oh, it was designed. You could see the whip on it, the
Jack
direction
Butland
it was
punches
going
it in,
on target.
So it should have been your goal.
Well, that's what I'm still claiming, yeah. And the KMI panel agrees as well.
Well, they agree that it was a mistake and
no,
that the goal should
sure
have stood.
About that. But all jokes aside, the reason I've said Kevin Clancy is because I think his decision to rule out the goal from the first instance is the mistake that's made. Again, you know I've got a huge stigma, it's a big bugbearer in mind, this clear and obvious error. I just think you need to come to the right decision. And I think once Kevin Clancy makes that foul call, I think it's very, very difficult for VAR to then say he's made a clear and obvious error based on probably what he's caused.
However, interestingly, Roger, the KMI panel today does think that it should have been overturned.
Yes, by 3-2. They definitely did. I'm just going to ask Andy, if Kevin Clancy or the VAR had given the goal, would you have celebrated it?
Yeah, probably would have. Yeah.
See if you look at the stage of the game. Eagle-eyed fan pointed this out to me today. He wheels away in celebration.
I actually didn't celebrate the first two.
He takes
sorry, you told me that earlier. I thought he was celebrating the fact they'd been disallowed. I'm with you
he
now.
He wheels away over in the corner if you look closely.
Okay, right,
where are we? Howler done. Okay, top man, top performer.
I'm going to go with James Wilson. It's obviously been a real tough, well, first half of the season for Hearts, but I think he's been that real shining light, that real positive. 17-year-old, he was nearly the first 17-year-old to ever score an SPL hat-trick, then got robbed of the chance when Neil Critchley takes him off, and he must have been fuming with the rest of his teammates that he wasn't the hero at the end of 90 minutes.
It's like a 34-year-old striker's header, isn't it?
I tell you what, I loved the first as well. His first touch on it,
it's just a very non-teenage striker-like goal to score.
What about the way he celebrates goals as well? For me, I just think if I'm 17 scoring these tackles, I'm going crazy.
It's
but it just seems so cool and composed, as if it's just all natural to
me. Well, I'll go for a 30-something striker who also scored two goals and has also got a very interesting goal celebration. Simon Murray is the world's angriest goal celebrator.
Just raging all the time, isn't he?
Furious all the time. But Tony Docherty wouldn't be furious with him, because a couple of goals. And listen, Dundee were in free fall before they went to Paisley yesterday. That's a big, big win for him.
0141 951 1025. So much to get through from yesterday, so give us a call, please. Craig is a Rangers fan. Craig, how does it feel to be a Rangers fan today after what happened yesterday?
I don't think I'm going to use the words to express how it feels, to be honest. My big Andy Hardy's saying about bugbears there. My big bugbear the news is right, I'm blaming sports science. The only formula I'm interested in at Rangers is how to win trophies and restore us to our former selves. We've got Alec Rea in that changing room. To me, what's he doing? That's a guy that could be in that changing room pointing towards the 80s and the 90s, dismissing all this nonsense. Do you think guys like Gazza needed sports science? That's Rangers stalwarts, Mark Haley. This is the nonsense we're getting served up. It's an absolute shambles. The guy should have been out the door 4 weeks ago. Rangers might not be kind of glorious now, but we'll get back to it. I've got a saying in our house, you can take the bear out the wild, but you'll never take the wild out the bear. But right now, there's something totally, totally wrong. And sports science seems to be the buzzword that's getting this guy away with it.
What was that phrase again?
You can take a bear out the wild, but you'll never be able to take the wild out the bear. You won't be back.
I've just got this vision of Gordon Dalziel sitting in Motherwell, Craig, listening to this show, writing that down. In about six months' time, he'll repeat that in this show and claim it's his own.
It's like, is that the football equivalent of the live, laugh, love or whatever that some people have in their kitchens? I like that. That's kind of made me speechless. Craig, how angry did it make you when you heard that the justification for leaving, you know, Czerny and Eggemann out was the sports science thing, and then seeing the way that you played without them in the first half, and I suppose then the way things improved when they came on?
Well, the script's written, and you know what's going to happen. You know they're going to, I mean, Eggemann's got the world at his feet. He really has. Czerny's probably up there with the best players in the league, but they're led to believe that they can't play. But, I mean, the script is written, they're going to come on and change the game, but we're getting fed this same gibberish. We're expected to kind of swallow it.
Go on then, I had a feeling we'd go down the sports science route. Let's bow to the professional, because devil's advocate time, in your, what are we calling it, twilight years, you weren't to play three games last week. You were rested, you know, at Celtic Park. So what do you make of the Rangers equivalent?
I can understand if it's one or two maybe, but Rangers made seven changes yesterday. I don't think Rangers have the quality within their squad to make seven changes in any game of football. Maybe, with all due respect, in the Scottish Cup third round, when they play Fraserburn a couple of weeks, they can maybe make seven, eight changes and probably come away with a positive performance or result. But listen, see, at the end of the day, we've played Rangers twice already this season, once away from home, once at a neutral venue, and it's been 2-1. It's been by one goal. They've been tight affairs. So we were pretty confident going into the game that, again, it could be another tight affair and hopefully go one better. So, listen, I'd be lying if I didn't say seeing the starting 11 before the game, seeing no Czerny, seeing no Eggemann. I think it does give you that little bit of boost, because at the end of the day, this has probably been the two, three best players along with Nicholas Raskin over the last few weeks. Nicholas Raskin, another one that fell short with the sports scientist rules, or maybe the old debate that if he got a booking, he would miss the Old Firm game. But I just don't think Rangers are in a position at this moment in time to make these type of changes, because at the end of the day, we're talking about, no, the potential last Monday, Roger, if you can remember, that if Rangers go and beat Celtic on the 2nd of January, it could be 6 points.
Yeah.
And some were saying, yes, potentially title race
could
back on.
No, it could be 17.
The big part of that was beating St Mirren away and beating ourselves yesterday. Yeah. And now, as Roger just said there, they're now in a position where it could be 17.
Roger, anyone who's watched this live stream will know you are at the cutting edge of sports science.
Well,
so
listen, the only thing under more pressure than Philip Clement is my belt after Christmas.
Would you like to give us an insight?
Stop me, Gordon, if you think I'm moving into dinosaur territory here. Now, there is a place for sports science. Of course there is. We're about to get into 2025. I think Philip Clement is putting way too much store in it. Now, if the sports science people want to advise Philip Clement, that's great. But seeing Friday, if Celtic have won 3-0 at Ibrox and Philip Clement gets a sack, they won't sack the sports scientist. They'll sack the manager. So Philip Clement, for me, was naive and he was foolish. As soon as I saw that team lineup, in fact, I heard Andrew on the show yesterday reading out the Rangers team from Fir Park. There were some incredulous noises from within the studio. And I said to somebody next to me, that's not a team line, that's a resignation letter. If Rangers go to Fir Park and try and beat Motherwell with Kieran Dowell and Oscar Cortez and that sort of team, A, they're disrespecting a Motherwell team who pushed them very close in the League Cup semi-final and pushed them very close in the league at Hampden. And it's, you know, you're lifting the spirits of the Motherwell players, because there, as Andy said, looking at the team line thinking, I'll tell you what, if you want to listen to your sports scientist player, play them in the first half, play them for an hour, play them for 70 minutes. And also, if the players are tired, I bet they're not tired enough they don't go and take their full money.
Is what? That the ultimate contradiction? Because again, you get it. It's all the top clubs have got sports scientists. All the elite level clubs will be guided up to a point, and we'll talk about, and I mean, red zones. I've never heard so much talk about red zones as I have over the last couple of days. But when they have to come on at half time, and then they play 55 minutes because ten minutes added on. So how different is that to starting them?
Yeah.
You try and go 2-0 up, and then
again, that was actually going to be my point, but No, I'll go even one further. I would argue any sports scientist out there, who's more physically ready to play that game, Tierney or Kieran Dowell? Kieran Dowell's not played for months.
Yeah. Cortes.
Cortes not played for 4 months. 45 minutes in a B team game. So who's more physically ready? The guy that's been playing games for the last 2-3 months, week in, week out, or a guy that hasn't played any football in 4 months?
Also, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong here. The two teams in the country with least need to rotate are Celtic and Rangers, because they do the majority of their work with the football. You would have thought that the teams needing to rotate are a Motherwell side who had just run around Celtic Park without the ball for 90 minutes.
They certainly did, believe me, having been there.
Yeah, Schmeichel we need rotated in the rest of the at some point.
You know, there is very little need for Rangers to make that level of rotation. All you're doing is you're giving the players excuses.
Yeah.
The sports scientist says I'm tired, that means I'm tired.
And again, for me, it's got so many layers, and I argue with the medical department in football with about this all the time. But see, fundamentally, Hamza Egerman is 22-year-old.
Aye.
He's not a 34-year-old experienced campaigner 100%. That's played 15 years of football. So see, when I seen Callum McGregor not in Celtic's lineup, I can understand that. The amount of minutes he's played over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 seasons. He's 30, 32, 33 year old.
That's what,
and Celtic are in a
Scotland
position where they can make one or two changes, not
thing,
seven.
On a football basis.
Philip Coleman making the point, you know, I could have played these guys and they could have been out for a month or 2 months. How does he know when he gets injured? You know, did he overload John Souter? Is that why he get injured? Did he overload Leon Balogun? Is that why he get injured? Is that why these guys? Of course not. People just get injured in football. This is a nonsense, Gordon.
Craig, 14 points. What does that look like to you now? Was it over before that? I think you thought it probably was. But how do you feel about the big picture?
There is no big picture. It's beyond kind of repairing this season. It's just, I don't know. What there is to look forward to, probably Barry Gaman, and if we can keep it respectable on Thursday against that lot, so we'll see.
As you say, Andy, it's that turnaround, because I'm trying to put the time frame on it. We were getting lots of calls along that, by the way, we could reduce this to 6 points against Celtic. Look how close we ran Celtic in the cup final. That cup final was still only a couple of weeks ago. And yet Craig's saying, just try and keep it respectable.
Yeah. And listen, I don't blame fans for, let's be honest, getting carried away, because that's what it was at that point in time. But they still had two hurdles in front of them, both being away fixtures. And if you look at the season that we've had so far, Rangers are fifth in form for away games in the league this year. A negative goal difference. They've got 11 points from 9 games. So again, they had two tough away fixtures in the lead up to that Old Firm game to then potentially make it 6 points, and then they never managed to get the job done in both.
Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He isn't concerned about his future as Rangers manager. He says everyone at the club knew this season would be a challenge and feels there has been an evolution.
No, I'm not concerned about that, because I'm only busy with the team. And we knew before the season what project and what challenging project it would be. On that side, it's difficult to speak about that, because you will not understand and people outside maybe will not understand. But there has been an evolution made. The last two games, not. For sure not. We have hurt ourselves in that way. But there were good games the last couple of weeks where the team showed the potential. In that way, there are already teams interested in some players for the future, what we didn't have the last 2 years. We're taking steps, but you cannot speak about that after losing points against St Mirren and against Motherwell. I know we need to work hard now in a few days to be much more resilient and much more determined in these defensive actions. That's going to be one part of the game, but of course also with the ball, to show what they've showed in this cup final and to look towards that.
Thank you very much to Craig in Kinning Park, who gave us that bear quote. If nothing else, I'm going to hang on to that for the new year and beyond. I love it. Thank you very much. 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Can't believe Andy Halliday spent the break booking in his next tattoo. You can take the bear out the wild. You can't take the wild out the bear. You've got everything else on those arms. You might as well add that to the list, no?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd fit that on this arm.
Was that your Uncle Craig in Kinning Park that phoned in?
The other one, the bear arm.
Oh, this one's full. There's no chance it's going on that. Right, come on. 01419511025
is the number that you need tonight. Get involved. Let us know how you're feeling about yesterday. Give us all your thoughts. Again, this will get overlooked, Andy, which is, it's like we've always said, the supply and demand nature of it. People are going to pour over Rangers' failings. I'm hoping we'll get to the controversies as well at some point, although you've given us your howler of the week about the Jack Butland incident. From a Motherwell perspective, how did you feel the game went? And does it feel like a bit deflating just because you were 2-0 up, or is that not the way it works?
Listen, I think it does, because at the end of the day, if you're 2-0 up in any game of football against any opponent at half time, you know, you're expecting yourself to go and see out the game. But what I will say is I think we got our game plan spot on. I think we try to get after Rangers, try to harry them, make them uncomfortable, make them defend certain situations. And I thought we'd done that extremely well in the first half. I thought Rangers never really got set. I don't think they looked comfortable throughout. And again, I think that was just putting them under pressure in possession. And again, try to harry them out of possession as well. And listen, I think credit where credit's due. I thought the two substitutes at halftime obviously made a real difference in the game. I don't really think there was a major drop off in our performance, to be honest. I think sometimes a result can create a narrative, and I think it's so easy to say, oh yeah, but Motherwell were poor in the second half and Rangers just upped their game. I don't really feel that, to be honest. I still thought we were okay. We had our moments in the second half, but I think Cherney and Iggerman, that sort of individual quality they both brought to the game, was the reason it obviously ended up 2-2. But listen, no, I've been in football long enough. When you're playing against a team with quality players that Rangers do, when they pin you back to 2-2 so early, it would be very easy for us to then capitulate. I think everybody out there then probably expects Rangers to go and get that winner. So I think in that respect, it's probably not a bad point.
Let me offer you a quote, right? I'll tell you the quote. You tell me who you think said it.
Before you even say
there we go. Game's a bogey.
What was the quote though?
I would put my mortgage on Rangers going on to win this from here, I believe. My mortgage on
I don't
my
know
house.
How he's got a mortgage left with some of the quotes he's had.
He's actually sleeping in the office in there if you go and look behind the news desk. Anyway, Gareth is a Rangers fan. How does it look from where you're sitting, Gareth?
Absolutely shocking. I think personally, Philip Comor has to go now because his record of beating Celtic, he can't do. So more than likely, I've got no confidence in Thursday's game whatsoever. We'll probably be 17 points behind Celtic on Friday morning. So I think he just needs to go. He's lost the dressing room. His changes yesterday in the game, it was baffled to me when I saw it. And to be honest, I just think he's completely lost the plot with Rangers.
Is that... You know, did you think yesterday was yesterday the tipping point, or were you at that stage weeks ago?
No, to be honest, when I watched the St Mirren game, we were never in that really. Well, second half was better than first half, but you could see it kind of coming from St Mirren to win the game. And so I think it's been a long time. He's never beaten Celtic, and it just feels like that Rangers are bringing in every Tom, Dick, and Harry that. Behind the scenes to sort out Rangers, but on the pitch and things like that, and obviously other managers are like being linked with Rangers, but he's never going to walk away. But the board needs to sack him. Simple as that. Who we bring in, don't know. Same old names will be there, but
I don't know if we're. See, when we get into this cycle, Roger, I'm cautious of are we rehashing the same conversations about Philippe Clement, but it had gone away obviously for a bit. Spurs, Celtic, you might have noticed there was a small refereeing controversy in the final, which took up a lot of the conversation afterwards. Has his position changed? Does defeat and draw in the last two games?
Here's the thing. In Philip Clement's interview there that you played just before the break, Gordon, see when managers start saying, I mean, people don't understand. Well, the fans do understand. Gareth, who's on the line, understands. Craig, the previous caller, understands. Rangers, in terms of points and goals, are closer to Dundee in eighth place than they are to Celtic in first place. Now, in isolation, Celtic beating Rangers in a League Cup final can happen. Celtic might come to Ibrox on Thursday and win. These things can happen. What can't happen is, under any circumstances, that a Rangers manager is 17 points behind Celtic on the 2nd of January, having lost at St Mirren, having lost at Kilmarnock, having already lost at Celtic Park, having lost at Aberdeen, having failed to win at Motherwell, having failed to win at Hearts, reaching this halfway point in the season with a negative goal difference away from home. You cannot do that. If you're the Rangers manager, with the budget you've got and all of the things you've got at your disposal, you should be at best 6 points behind Celtic, having maybe lost twice to them, and putting away the rest of the teams. And not only is he not doing it, he's not even close to doing it. And when you start the old, oh listen, people don't understand, when you start that chat, Gordon, you've lost the battle.
I've seen this theory on social media today, Andy, that the biggest indictment of where Rangers are is the fact that they've managed to turn the 2nd of January game against Celtic into a bit of a dead rubber. Mm-hmm. Is there actually a danger that is the case? Rangers winning it would be good on the day, and I'm sure it would be maybe a psychological lift because Philippe Clement's not won one of these. But what, you know, reduces the gap to 11 points.
Listen, it's a dead rubber in the respect that has no bearing in where the championship's going to end up.
Early in the season for that.
This early, but it's a fact. I don't think there's any, the most optimistic Rangers fan out there thinks that if Rangers win the game in the 2nd of January, there's a potential they can go on to win the league title. It's just not going to happen. And the fact of the matter is, like you said, it's a sad indictment of where Rangers are domestically at the moment. But again, I always try and be honest in my thoughts, and I really, really don't think that Philippe Clement helps himself with some of the comments he makes after games. I've said it for a while, and again, going on to that Boxing Day game that Roger just mentioned at St Mirren, all his talk post-match was, oh, do you know what, first half was unacceptable, but we were excellent in the second half. They drew one each in the second half. They didn't even win the second half. And every time St Mirren went forward in the second half, they still looked like scoring. So when it came to that last 5-10 minutes, I still thought it ebbed and flowed that who could potentially go and get a winner, because St Mirren looked dangerous throughout. And then, of course, they go in and get it. He's talked so often about how it's a young squad. We've obviously looked at that in comparison to other squads. It's not that particularly young. It's still quite experienced, actually, when it comes to the sort of starting 11 that gets put out in games. And then, of course, when he talks about the sports science stuff, again, I just don't think it helps them. I don't think there's anything that the fans can then relate to after the game where they can vent their frustration. The only way they're going to vent their frustration is the product that they're seeing on the pitch.
To phone us.
Well, Craig and Gareth already have.
Gareth, what angered you most about yesterday in particular?
To be honest, he didn't know what we were even in the game. 2-0 down at half time. Yeah, we came back and got it 2-2, but getting the draw, I think it was just going to just like paint over the cracks, basically, going into the Celtic game. But he just, after the cup final game, he just bought himself a wee bit more time, because if he'd lost that, like just without getting penalties or anything, I think it would have just been, he'd maybe been given the sack then. But he just, yesterday was just the final, I actually turned it off at the end point. I just thought, I can't even bother watching this. And then listening to his comments afterwards, I just thought to myself, it's the same old thing, same old rubbish we're listening to.
This isn't just a Philippe Clement thing, just a general bugbear of mine to round off the year, because there are other managers that have done this a lot this season, and it's annoyed me, is when managers, and it must be that self-preservation type thing where they say, it was just individual errors, you know, that cost us goals. Yeah. And obviously the first one is pretty ugly from a Rangers perspective. You can't look at Motherwell's second goal and say that, you know, it's just the Rangers' mistake. I mean, mm-hmm. It was a fairly weak header from, was it Dujon Sterling?
Yeah.
But do managers do that as if, is that their way of saying, you know, the setup's fine, the tactics are fine, and I can't legislate if
manager,
players going.
The manager not pick those individuals, though.
No, but is that why they do it, though? Whether it's right or wrong, is that why they say these things?
Deflect it a bit, and it makes it sound better. Oh, if we can iron out the individual errors. Well, you're not ironing out the individual errors. In fact, the individual errors are becoming greater. Had it not been for a decision at the KMI panel today, say it was incorrect, a decision by Kevin Clancy, that's an individual error by Jack Butland for Andy Halliday's corner. I didn't think Jack Butland covered himself in glory at the first goal, off the back of the penalty he conceded for 1-0 St Mirren on Boxing Day. I'll cut Dujon Sterling some slack. I'm not sure he's any more of a centre-half than I am, but he's willing to be pushed into those positions because Rangers have allowed the squad to wither to a stage that they have no more options at centre-half. Kieran Dowell, I have a vision of him scoring a goal against Livingston last season. Other than that, has contributed absolutely nothing in his Rangers career. Oscar Cortez, likewise. So there are a lot of individuals there making errors, but it's Philippe Clement who is signing and playing those individuals.
Just to try and tick off as many talking points as we can, now having seen it back, and you'll have seen that a lot of comments, were you worried at any point that the first goal gets ruled out because it hits AP, as you call him's hand?
No, not at all. Again, it's, he's not made himself naturally bigger. His arm's tucked into his body. It doesn't directly lead to him scoring the goal. There's obviously the kind of 1-2 that happens beforehand. So, you know, based on the laws, it's obviously the correct decision.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of misinformation, I think, about that one, Roger, because we're, as an example, if that's sort of closer to goal or whatever, and if Stamatolopoulos handballs it, no matter what the handball is, tucked in, tucked out, which waved all about, corner. If that falls to him and then he scores, then the goal would be ruled out.
Yeah.
In this instance, the only thing that's going to get the goal ruled out, because he does play a 1-2 with a teammate, is it a punishable handball? So you're still looking at those old things that said it to Gordon DL and Hugh on the show yesterday. That type of handball, if he does that in his own box, is it a penalty? No. So that's the kind of the way to think about it. His hand was tucked in. Yeah. Hits him.
No, you're
comfortable enough with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone want to talk about Jack Butland, Lennon Miller, anything else? You know where we are.
This was obviously the goal that was correctly ruled out, but you talked about Jack Butland not covering the sailing glory. The goal that was correctly ruled out that loops onto the bar and then comes back, and after a couple of rickshaws, falls to Tony Watt. Well, I don't think he covered the sailing glory in that instance either.
It was a strange one because I know he does claim for offside, but James Tavernier sort of. He walks away. He thinks it's out of play, and
it was like Hugh Keevan's chasing a balloon at the Christmas party.
It kind of threw me off a bit as well, because they can't have been that confident in the offside, because it was fairly tight, wasn't it? It took VAR to tell me then, because I thought Tony Watt's celebration was a bit low key. Thinking you,
to be honest, I know you, but at the time you can get carried away with your emotions, but it's one of them that Dan Casey was that free. There seems as if there was no Rangers player in an acre of him, then straight away you think
no goal,
he's potentially offside.
Not debating that for a second. Thanks to Gareth. What about Jim, who's a Rangers fan from Aberfoyle? What's your feelings at the moment?
I just hope they're the best thing that can happen on Thursday is we get humped 5 or 6-0.
I thought we might get a call like this tonight, Gordon.
Seriously though, Jim, how does that work? How can you ever want your team to lose? It's never mind lose heavily to your rivals.
How can we start this season? This isn't the first. And first in the second half. Oh, we maybe get a defeat.
Right, Jim's line's a wee bit dodgy. Let's try and clear that up.
I wonder what will happen on Thursday, because Rangers have a new chief executive in Patrick Stewart. They have a new chairman in Fraser Thornton. They have never seen Ibrox on a day when Rangers lose. They have never seen Ibrox on a day when Rangers lose to Celtic. They've never seen Ibrox on a day when Rangers lose to Celtic and go 17 points adrift of Celtic under a manager who has never beaten Celtic. I wonder what they will make of the atmosphere if these things unfold like that on Thursday, and what that will mean for Philip Clement's future, because you can tell tonight, you know, Jim is saying broadly similar things to Gareth and Craig. It sounds to me that Philip Clement has lost the Rangers' support, and the only way he will be able to earn any points with the Rangers' support is to beat Celtic for the first time on Thursday. Yes, all it will do is bring the gap back to 11 points. It doesn't bring the Rangers back into a title race, but he needs to win. I wonder if he loses what the future holds for him.
Well, that was going to be my question for you. If he does lose in the 2nd of January, do you think that's the end of
Philip Clement? I think a lot will depend on the way he loses and the reaction of the Rangers fans. Remember, not a single Celtic supporter in Ibrox. It'll be 50,000 Rangers supporters. The are unhappy after what they've seen since Boxing Day, and if things go awry on Thursday, I think the atmosphere might dictate Philip Clement's job security.
I thought this rivalry was stronger than everything, Jim, and this always strong desire to win. How can you want your team to lose heavily in this fixture?
I want Clement out, and that's the only way I can see them sacking. We've put up with this since the start of the season. Mediocre first half, a little improvement in second half, maybe get a win, maybe get a draw, but we've had 4 losses. That's 4 losses too many.
You're well placed, Andy, hence why you're here, obviously. You've now, on the Motherwell side yesterday, you've been in a Rangers side that goes to Fir Park or goes to Paisley. Philippe Clement sort of denies the or doesn't really want to get dragged into discussions about why the away form's so much worse. Mm-hmm. What are the obvious challenges of going away, and why can teams struggle with it so much?
Listen, I don't know if this is fact or fiction, but you always feel like Ibrox, Celtic Park, they're big pitches, big spaces. These teams that, you know, tend to have more possession and move you out your shape, but it does seem that wee bit more difficult. And obviously, like I touched on at the top of the show, our game plan was to try and get after Rangers, try and close the gaps, close the spaces, and make it difficult for them. And it just felt that little bit easier. Again, I say this every time, I always feel like when you play Rangers or Celtic, you have to bring your A game, and you also have to get that wee bit of luck. I thought we brought pretty much close to our A game, probably B plus, and we obviously didn't get that little bit of luck when it came to obviously the Jack Butland decision. But again, I can't answer why Rangers away form this season has been so poor, because at the end of the day, Rangers have accumulated the same amount of home points as Celtic, so there's not much difference in terms of their home form throughout this season. But away from home, Rangers have clearly struggled throughout.
Because I just wonder, Roger, is that a psychological thing? Is that a mentality thing where you know you're not going to quite get the same possession, and it might be straying into cliche territory here, but it might be a bit more of a battle, it might be a bit more of a sleeves rolled up type occasion than it would be if you're at home. There must be a reason why, because it's now a fairly good sample size, 9 played away from home and won 4.
Yeah. I was listening to Danilo after the game at St Mirren at the weekend when they lost. And Danilo kept saying things like, well, I mean, everybody knows our quality and, you know, but we're just unlucky. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. If this had happened once and you'd won all your other away games and slipped up at St Mirren in isolation, then maybe. I don't think the players know what it takes to go away from home and win games for Rangers on a consistent basis. And that comes from the top. I think that comes from Philippe Clement. It's a bit like you were saying a minute ago, Andy. He goes and loses at St Mirren and then says, well, we played really well in the second half. Well, you didn't really, and you lost the game. And we've heard this many times from him. I'm not sure he appreciates what it takes to go to Fir Park, to go to the Smyzer, to go to Rugby Park. It takes an enormous effort. Andy's seen both sides of the coin. He's done it with Rangers, and he's doing it against Rangers. It takes a certain type of player who has a certain type of mentality, who is able to go and, if I can use an old-fashioned phrase, Andy, win the battle first and then hope if you've got superior quality, your superior quality comes through. Celtic players, McGregor, Forrest, Taylor, you've seen them all. They know what it takes. They've done it season after season. They're leaving Rangers trailing in their wake.
Thank you very much to Jim. Let me tell you about this before we go any further.
New Year's Cash Countdown. Win over £500,000. Our biggest ever cash prize.
Yes, it's goodbye 2024 and potentially hello £525,000. It's our final competition of the year, our biggest ever cash prize. It is 100% tax-free, and if you win, every penny goes into your bank account before the new year. £525,000. Text yes to 61025. That's yes to 61025. You get 5 for 1 on your first entry. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. The lines close at 3 p.m. tomorrow, so you are running out of time. It is so simple. Answer your phone if we ring. That's it. Just answer it. The £525,000 would be yours. It is a guaranteed winner as well. Someone will win the lot. So text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday is here. Good to know he hasn't let his ego get the better of him after his man of the match performance yesterday. Honestly, see the seat.
What do you get for a man of the match performance at Fir Park?
Get to go and meet the hospitality clients.
Yeah, you do. You get a wee plaque.
So you didn't get heckled like Lauren Shanklin did at hospitality last week?
No, thankfully not. But I seen that.
It's a tough skill, isn't it?
Then Craig Gordon was up as well, didn't he?
Your old team struggling?
They are. This isn't me sitting on the fence, but I have watched a lot of Hearts this year, and I feel like they play so well in large periods of games, but they just don't put teams away, and then they always seem to give the opposition team a chance. And again, I think that was very evident
up in the
97th minute.
Yeah. Wow.
97
but again, looked
like
a really comfortable performance. The chances to extend the lead further when it was 2-0. Obviously, Liam Boyce gets that goal disallowed as well. But again,
interesting.
Teams away, two goals.
That was the only other. That was the only other decision from yesterday that the KMI panel said was wrong. Yeah, they felt that
penalty free penalty kick.
They felt that it should have been a penalty rather than a free kick to Hearts. Definitely. So it was that and the Jack Butland one. And
just out of interest, did Danny Armstrong's second yellow card come up in the? In the conversation?
Ooh, good question.
You don't do yellow cards,
no,
do they?
Because it's not a VAR.
Is that right?
Okay. One, would that be why? Yeah, that would be right.
Because it was a second yellow, not a straight red. So not a straight red like Scott Allen.
Oh, and I want to get him back on. Hatchet man Allen, unbelievable. That's what spending a Friday night with Hugh Keevans does to you. Yeah, riles you up.
I'll tell you something. He's not doing his chances of getting that Kelty Hearts manager's job any good. You know, when Michael Tidzer goes to the infirmary.
Right, yes, KMI panels and all that stuff. They said today they thought that the goal should have stood for Motherwell for the alleged foul on Jack Butland. They thought Lennon Miller was the right decision to keep him on the park. But I know that one's had a bit of debate as well, so keep your thoughts coming if you wish. Richard's a Rangers fan. How's it going, Richard?
Not great.
One way of putting it.
Obviously disappointed. I'll be honest, I bought into the fact that things had turned around. A few good results. Good result against Tottenham. Narrow loss in the cup final. I thought things were starting to turn a wee bit. Look at the last couple of games. We take the points from them. You get into the second, you beat Celtic. All of a sudden, there's potential for a title race there. Now you look at it and where we're actually sitting. Particularly disappointed. Robin Proper should never wear a Rangers jersey ever again. He is absolutely honking. I think that the reality that we face now is Rangers need to make a quick decision. They need to make the decision to get rid of Philippe Clement. We need to look at another option. At this very moment in time, I would take Pedro Caixinha back with the absolute carnage that is going on at Rangers. It's a disaster.
Andy's away. Andy Haldy's just stormed out the studio, Richard. He's shivering at the thought of that name.
He should be away after celebrating that corner kick yesterday.
See, I knew somebody would notice. They've turned on Andy Halliday. That's when you know things are bad.
Listen, see, all joking aside, right? I won't turn on Andy Halliday because he puts his heart into whatever jersey he's playing, right? And the Rangers players need to look at the way he performs and puts his effort and his self on the line for whatever club he's playing for. And the Rangers players need to take a leaf out of his book.
Nah, so I'd much prefer criticising him. It's far easier. Roger, I'm going to put this one to you because Andy's played in the game yesterday. From the outside, though, is the criticism of Robin Proper from Richard accurate?
He's not very good. At the minute, he's in the team because they don't really have anyone else. I mean, he's having a partner, Dujon Sterling, who, as I said earlier, is not a centre-half. What that says about the Rangers squad, about the Rangers recruitment, is maybe a debate for another day. But Robin Proper has come from the Dutch league.
Could you just call him Roy Cropper?
Roy, you might be better off with Roy and Haley at centre half. but he's come from, you know, no disrespect to 20, who I'm quite sure are okay. He's come from a club where there is less pressure. You can play your football. And this isn't me just saying it. Robin Proper has admitted this himself in a couple of interviews in the last month or so. He's come into an environment that he's ill-suited to. Leon Balogun is an okay defender, probably quite a limited defender. He's bounced around the lower leagues in England, QPR and Wigan, etc., etc. But Leon Balogun is probably better suited to it. He seems to have more of a mentality for it and can play okay. I just think Robin Proper is in the wrong movie. It's probably not his fault. He's admitted to it himself. He's probably in the wrong movie, but he's having a hard time. And about like Philippe Clement, if he wants to get people off his back, he needs to produce something on Thursday that he hasn't yet produced in a Rangers shirt.
Can a win on Thursday, even if you think it's unlikely, turn anything around, Richard? What's the best case scenario here?
A win on Thursday, all it does is prolong the inevitable of us having to get rid of Philippe Clement. and it protects them for another wee bit, like the Kilmarnocks, Tottenham Hotspur and Ross County results have done. They've just prolonged the inevitable of us having to get rid of them. We're limited with the quality, we're limited with the depth, and the head coach is a disaster. The club is in a really bad place. A few results sort of, I bought into it myself, but let's be honest, it sort of papered over the cracks for a very short period of time.
See that old phrase, Richard, you know, it's the hope that kills you. Is that, I think that's why you and other Rangers fans are hurting, particularly today, because you had maybe got carried away with a couple of results.
100%. There was a few good results, a few good performances. You start to believe, you start to buy into it a wee bit. We're very bad in this country for criticising the two old firm when another team gets the result, right? Credit to St Mirren, and I actually think that Motherwell probably did enough to win that game, so credit where it's due. But Rangers are in a bad place and something needs to change now.
Thank you very much to Richard on 0141 951 1025. It's a good time for us to pause for breath and get ready for the final Beat the Pundit of 2024. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Just imagine having that on the CV, being the final Beat the Pundit contestant of 2024 and maybe even winning. The final winner of 2024 against the two biggest football anoraks we have at our disposal. If you fancy your chances, give us a call before 7 o'clock on 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It is the final Clyde One Super Scoreboard of 2024. It has been dominated by moans and groans from Rangers fans after the draw at Fir Park yesterday. I feel like everyone feels so strongly about the result. I've actually not done a great deal on the big sort of talking points, refereeing decisions. Usually on a day like this we would be awash with them, but it's almost like the results are slightly more important on days like this and it's overtaken everything. But if you want to have a good old whinge about Jack Butland or Lennon Miller or what else was there, Cherney and Tony Watt had a wee tangle, didn't they, or anything else that you want to get off your chest, we're here for you. Celtic fans, a very straightforward day for you without Callum McGregor. How did the team look with that sort of freshness to it against St Johnstone? Big worrying times for you Hearts fans, I suppose, still at the wrong end of the table. How are you feeling? St Mirren, you're like up and down like everyone else, on a brilliant run then lose to Dundee, so there's still lots to get through. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I've just had a glance at the final Beat the Pundit questions for the year, and I don't know how this makes you feel, but they are all based on what's happened within the last year.
That's a disaster.
I'm a bit worried for you because you are, as everybody knows, one of the top dogs on Beat the Pundit. I don't think stuff like that's your strong suit.
No, I'm the now.
Right, anyway, Mark and Johnson fancies it. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, Gordon. How are you guys doing?
Mark, the chance to be the final Beat the Pundit winner of 2024. And the only man to beat Andy Halliday in 2024. I mean, this, what an incentive.
It's a lot of pressure, but pressure for diamonds, as they say.
I love that. Mark sounds like the type of guy that could handle it.
Pressure for diamonds.
I thought it was pressure for tyres, but he's elevated it to higher quality of saying.
By the way, we've got terrific. We're going out with a bang in 2024.
With the sayings. What was the first one again?
You can take the bear out of the wild, you can't take the wild out of the bear. Now it's pressure for diamonds.
I don't even know if I get it either, but I still love it all the same.
Makes you think.
It certainly makes you think. It makes me think about a lot of things, I have to say. Right, heads, it will be Andy Halliday, unbeaten in 2024, would that be right?
Yeah, well, I don't like the fact you've said that before, what I know these
Roger Hanna has lost, but he does start on -2, so sort of skewed against him a bit. Oh, and it is. It's the old heads.
Me?
Well, you should know by now. That's the seat you sit in. Right, Mark, I'll give him something else to listen to. And it's just you and I for now. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. And pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. Who scored the winner in the last Edinburgh Derby of 2024?
Pass.
Name any city Scotland played in at the Euros.
Cologne.
Who did Celtic face when Santa presented them the title in May?
St Mirren.
In what month did Rangers return to Ibrox after playing at Hampden?
November.
Which team ended Aberdeen's unbeaten start in the league?
Celtic.
Okay, let's bring back Andy Hallery. Can you hear us?
That was rapid, wasn't it? I don't know if it's because I was
enjoying.
Oh
good, because the pundits usually moan that I take too long, even good. Though it's the same 30 second timer we've used for about a decade.
I was enjoying a song for one, so that's probably why.
A Dire Straits.
Dire Straits, yeah.
Good. Let's hope that's not an omen for you. Your time starts now. Who scored the winner in the last Edinburgh Derby of 2024?
Shanklin.
Name any city Scotland played in at the Euros.
Cologne.
Who did Celtic face when Santa presented them the title in May?
Ross County.
In what month did Rangers return to Ibrox after playing at Hampden?
October.
What team ended Aberdeen's unbeaten start in the league?
Pass.
Bang Bang Darren Lang is a song released by which League 2 club?
Nah.
Where have more Old Firm games been played this year? Celtic Park or Ibrox?
Celtic Park. I'm toiling, baby.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I think he's just edged it.
Well, it's the worst I've seen him.
They were hard. They were really hard.
That being as well.
Okay, let's go through them. This
Shanklin, what a bad guess.
Very, very bad.
Honestly.
My son's just texted me. Says, Shanklin, question mark. Is Andy okay? Question mark.
What a bad answer.
You know Shanklin, who's like famously not scoring goals at the moment. Can you remember now?
No, I actually can't remember.
Dwight Gale,
aye.
Dwight Gale. Wonderful goal that was as well.
I crumbled on that one.
I think.
So that, did I, Mark.
I noticed. 0-0. Let's move on. The next one was a bit more straightforward. You had the choice of Munich, which wasn't very good. Stuttgart wasn't very good either. Cologne was all right. Cologne, if you're ever in any doubt and you're wondering an answer to a question like this, just remember Cologne was the city that we lost Gordon DL for quite a long time. And he went AWOL. It was also the city that he got his bare feet out on a coffee shop table and asked our video producer to apply plasters to his blisters. So that city's burned in my memory for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. You both got it. It's 1-1. Who did Celtic face when Santa presented them the title?
What, I mean, what is that? Do you know that?
Well, it was a post-split fixture.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you know it.
St Mirren. Mark got it.
Oh, well done, Mark.
I thought you would
That's
maybe fall
ridiculous,
for
ridiculous, honestly, terrible question.
Do you not remember who it was when they booed Santa? Because I thought you'd maybe remember that.
No.
That was Ross County, wasn't it?
Oh, see, I thought it was Hearts.
Hearts.
Oh, well, Hearts, was it?
Yeah.
That's a shocking question.
But because you didn't get it.
I know, but it is.
Mark,
come on.
2-1. I'll tell you what, the standard is on the floor. Too much Christmas dinner for you two. In what month did Rangers return to Ibrox? It might have felt like a long time for you both, but it was September.
What was it?
The 21st, a 3-0 against Dundee in the League Cup.
I wouldn't say it's that bad, I guess. It's 10 days away.
I know, but still 2-1 to Andy at this. No, 2-1 no, Mark at this time. I think this is hard. It was only a month ago, just over a month ago, which team ended Aberdeen's unbeaten run in the league?
So the first team to beat them?
I still can't remember.
In the league. I have to say, the producer has done. I don't know if this is sneaky.
Was it St Mirren?
It's St Mirren. So St Mirren's the answer to two questions.
That was the day
of the delayed kickoff to 4 o'clock.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Right, so Andy still trails by one. Bang Bang Darren Lang. We still got that tune. Surely we need to play a bit of Bang Bang Darren Lang. They just remind everybody. I'm looking at all the clips I've got on my screen and there are about a million of them. Is Bang Bang Darren Lang still there? We'll get it in a second. It is Stranraer. Andy Haldy was never getting that one wrong. And this is where things that, let's hear it just in case anyone can't remember.
Darren Lang.
Yep, there he is. Darren Lang scores the goal. Now here comes the music.
It's bang bang Darren.
The biggest
Lang
hit of 2024. Bang, never gets old, eh? Never gets old. Andy Halliday loves that. He was never getting that one wrong. And something that's never been said about him is his turn of pace here, Mark, that's done you, because you're out of questions. Mm-hmm. And it's 2-all. Where have more Old Firm games been played this year, Celtic Park or Ibrox? And it is Celtic Park. There's only been one at Ibrox, because there'll be one in a couple of days. And Andy Halliday, it's his worst win of the year, but he's still kept up his 100% record. You must be what a sigh of relief for you, boy.
Yeah, I mean I crumbled with the Shanklin question. I just couldn't recover. So I never deserved it, Mark, but You need to win ugly sometimes.
What about your team, Mark? They certainly didn't win ugly very easy against St Johnstone. I suppose top v bottom kind of should be like that. But you pleased at how straightforward it was with a big week coming up?
Yeah, listen, a win and a clean sheet, you can't complain. And, you know, rotated the squad a wee bit and also have players like Alistair Johnson back, resting McGregor ahead of the game in the second. So, yeah, all in all, pretty happy.
I'm assuming, right, is it too early because you get the level of opposition and you've got a serious body of work for the guy I'm about to mention? Are there any signs there that make you a bit more comfortable that this midfield could function without Callum McGregor when you see them yesterday? Is it too early for that stuff?
I would look at it in the way that, you know, the depth is strong. You know, you can rest your captain for maybe a game or two here and there. And the fact that you have players like Bernardo, Engels, who can come in and show that they can do a job is promising. But I wouldn't go as far as saying, you know, let's drop McGregor for the foreseeable or whatever.
And that's the thing. I wouldn't, even in an attempt to stir up conversation and debate on the show, I don't think I could go that far, Roger. But
no, but...
You know, just because there are a lot of options in there, and that was a team yesterday that didn't even have Luke McCowan starting the game.
Yeah, and you always kind of wondered what it would do if Callum McGregor was out for a prolonged period of time. Bernardo dropped into that sort of number six role, if you like, between Ingles and Hatate, and played very well and got forward. As you know, Callum McGregor's got half a dozen goals this season, and Bernardo, you know, he did sit in front of two centre halves at times, but he was also in the box. You know, for Kyogo's first goal, I think it was the one where Bernardo's in short corner routine, Hatate puts it in, Bernardo's the one who has the shot that's saved by Josh Rui, and Kyogo scores with a diving header. I thought Bernardo played well, but, and here's the but, I'm not convinced he'll start on Thursday, because Arne Engels played as well as he's played in many, many weeks, and an Old Firm game, Hatate's certain to start, McGregor's certain to start.
Yeah, no, having watched the game, I thought that Celtic midfield three was very, very fluid. You know, Roger just mentioned there Paolo Bernardo playing in the six, but at times, you know, Arne Engels dropped in the six, Hatate dropped in the six. It seemed as if they had that licence to sort of roam and rotate within their positions. And what I will say, within the three of them, there's a lot of athleticism there. Callum McGregor's been a fantastic seven for Celtic, still a great player. Maybe doesn't quite have that turn the pace that he once had. But don't get me wrong, I think if I'm predicting the team come Thursday, I think Callum McGregor's certainly going to be in it.
Thank you to Mark, the final contestant of Beat the Pundit for 2024. We couldn't get another win on the board, I'm afraid. Andy Halliday's dominance continues. That was you going for, it says, 9 in a row without defeat, but you've not won other than that just this season.
This season, yeah.
Because you stretch back further than that.
You said Mark got it. He's a Celtic fan, of course he got it for the Santa.
Yeah, I guess.
And by the way, Santa's not even in 2024. That game, that was the season before 2023.
No, the year, no,
when he was presented with the trophy.
He was presented with the trophy, because remember they brought him back.
Right, okay, I thought it was the booing one.
In an ironic nod to the booing.
Oh, right.
Come on.
Listen, I still wouldn't have got it, but at least I guessed a top six team.
I can see that. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers to carry on the discussion that we were having there about yesterday's game. It was a very convincing one for Celtic, and he's looking back on pride with what Celtic have achieved across this calendar year.
Last season was one of the best coaching seasons of my life, of my career, in terms of coming in and what I was coming into. This season has just been a joy to work with the players and seeing them evolve and develop and how I want them to work. And but I think over the course of the year, I think I've seen some statistics yesterday people were trying to show me, and from that aspect, it's mentally impressive. So, but we're not even a halfway point. I think that's the thing. There's still such a long way to go for us. But I'm just so pleased what 2024 has brought us in performance and statistics. And as a guy who's managing the club and has the privilege to do that, I'll look back on this season. I've got the privilege of managing the team, but also from a supporter's perspective, this will be one of those seasons what will be historic in terms of the what we've achieved statistically over this season, and that makes me really proud. And as I said, seeing that game today and seeing what the players have given, you can see the mindset that's very much established here to win and win in the best possible way.
Never let it be said that you two don't have worldwide appeal, because Ryan is up next and he's in Perth, not that one, Australia. How's it going, Ryan?
Yeah, not bad, panel. How are you guys?
What time is it? I always just ask that first.
Hold on, let me check. It's 3:15 in the morning.
Oofed. I mean, delighted to have you, but why? What's going on? You're just that desperate to get your Scottish football fix.
Well, no, I just like listening to you and that every day because it reminds me of back at home and that. Lunching the night shift, so.
Ah, night shift.
Why not get a buzz in?
Brilliant. Listen, I genuinely, I'm really delighted. I love it when people take the time from the other side of the world. What interests you tonight then?
No, I just caught the last little bit of the last caller there speaking about the Celtic midfield, I think it was. I was just kind of wondering what you guys would think we're going to start against Rangers. And because I think for the first time, Brendan Rodgers really had a proper decision to make in terms of his angles picking up form. Bernardo's been good, Hattie's been good. Obviously, you can't drop McGregor, so who's really going to make that cut? And then, like moving forward in that midfield, you hear rumours of Lennon Miller. Like something, personally, I think something's got to give. Like if you go and buy Lennon Miller, then you're going to have six quality midfielders in fighting for three spots. I was just wondering what you guys think of that.
Just quickly, Ryan, what would your three be? Put it to these guys.
See, I feel like it'd be Hatate, Bernardo, and McGregor. I just feel like while England's just been good recently, he's, you know, it's two games you could say he's had a pretty good performance. So that would be my three. But obviously, for that price tag, he's been brought in for the games. So yeah, that'd be my pick.
Right, Roger. I think you showed your hand a bit with the previous caller. So Andy, what's the best? I mean, you'd pick Mark Wilson, Hugh Evans, and Roger Hannan midfield.
Yeah, I'd love that. That'd be brilliant.
But in terms of what is the strongest trio right now?
For me, the strongest trio includes Paulo Bernardo. I would include Paulo Bernardo over Arne Eggles. Yeah, he's just had a good performance at the weekend there. But I think Paulo Bernardo's had a very good season for Celtic. Probably not had the opportunities that Arne Eggles has had. But I thought Arne Eggles he's been okay in recent weeks. Again, like we said, picked up. We obviously got the penalty goal against ourselves on Boxing Day. Had a good performance again at the weekend there. But for me, I've been impressed with Paulo Bernardo anytime he's had a Celtic jersey. And listen, if I'm being completely honest, I thought in the League Cup final, when he came onto the pitch, I thought Arne Engel struggled in that period in the game. Yes, you get the telling assist with Nicholas Coon to make it 3-2 for Celtic with 3 minutes to go. But I thought he struggled with the pace of the game in that point in time. But listen, he's very, very young. I've said it previously as well. I think he's got so much attributes. I think he's a big powerful boy. He's clearly got technical ability, being on penalties, free kicks, corners. He's delivery for Maeda's goal as well. But I think as of now, if I'm saying what's Celtic's best midfield, I think Paulo Bernardo's in it.
I wonder, Roger, does the whole debate become skewed because of who Arne Engels is, or more specifically what his price tag is? Because we keep looking at, is he in form, is he out of form, and it almost just overlooks what Paulo Bernardo is doing. Because because you and Ryan are right to say Engels has been decent in the last couple of games, but so has Paulo Bernardo. When you look at it, was it his pass for Maeda's goal at the weekend? It's not like he's not been good this time.
A couple of the goals, you know, it was his shot that was saved for Kyogo's header as well.
And,
you know,
these sides only met a couple of weeks ago when Bernardo did start.
Whoever doesn't play will be unlucky. Brendan Rodgers in a very fortunate position that he can perm any three from four of them, and that's ignoring Luke McCowan, who's done very well in his Celtic career. So I don't think there's a wrong decision for Brendan Rodgers. And listen, Andy may well be right, he may well stick with Bernardo. I just wonder if Engels' display yesterday is enough to get him in.
I mean, Ryan, it's the chance to go 17 points clear. How are you feeling about that massive gulf at the moment?
It's a bit interesting because Rangers can just pick form up out of nowhere, but then drop out of nowhere as well. And like Celtic went through a wee patch there where they were a bit mediocre, you know, they weren't firing all cylinders, but they seem to have picked up. But you know, it's a long season and you don't want to write things off too early. But I wanted to quote Hugh Evans, and I know you've probably heard this a million times about the cup final game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that controversial decision was back on journey. I just want to take you back to the 3-3 game at Ibrox in regard to the Fabio Silva penalty. Obviously, after the game, you guys were on and stuff, and Stevens was asked by a Celtic fan what he thought about the penalty. He said, the last thing on earth we should be talking about after that 3-3 game is the rest. And I was just wondering why you guys think that Tierney incident got so much attention in the moment, because we didn't know if it was wrong decision or the right decision, like, wasn't clarified by Willie Collin and the VAR team yet.
Ryan, that line from Perth is a bit ropey. I can certainly hear it. I've got the luxury of big headphones on. I think the gist of the question, why did the Tierney decision get so much hype after the cup final? I mean, Roger, well, listen, numerous reasons, I guess.
We've gone through it. We know, because it's a wrong decision.
It's supposed to be a factual one.
Yeah.
And now
we've
got a VAR review and stuff, so that adds more oxygen to the debate.
I can't actually believe you're phoning from Perth, Australia tonight, Ryan, because as I was leaving Celtic Park last night, going down the stairs, I bumped into a gentleman who is from Australia, an expat Scot, home in Glasgow for Christmas, way to see Celtic yesterday, and he stopped me to say how much he enjoys listening to Super Scoreboard in Australia, keeps him in touch with all the Scottish football, and he was just thanking us all.
A sound of home, even at 3 in the morning. Thank you to Ryan, 01419511025. Great time to call, and we'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here, 01419511025. Good question, this from Dougal in the West End. I like it, ahead of January the 2nd.
Dougal could only live in the West End, couldn't he?
Yeah, probably. Don't forget, we do have plenty more scope for you to have your full-time teasers used on the show between now and the end of the season, once we tick over into 2025. So get your thinking caps on, email them fulltime@clyde1.com. Since 2000, can you name the last 7 players who've scored in an Old Firm and a Dundee derby?
Ooh.
So last 7 players have scored in an Old Firm and a Dundee derby.
Armstrong.
Yes.
Claudio Caniggia.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there. Try and get the answers between now and the end of the show. And it's fulltime@clyde1.com. It's good to see Andy Haldy still not over it, because the highlights are on the TV in here of yesterday's Premiership action. You're still shaking your head at Tony Watt and Jack Butland, aren't you? You're not over it.
Again, every time I see it, it just looks even clearer that it's my goal.
It's all about you, though.
Robbed a bit of goal here.
You're not. Is there a, I know it wouldn't cost Mother one much, but are you on a goal bonus?
I'm not. No.
Must be getting the safest money ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am surprised at this. Not one call through yet about that decision. I thought you Motherwell fans would be up in arms. It is, where are we? About 7:30 or something. But there's still time. Give us a shout. 01419511025. We've brought it up a couple of times. What about the other big talking point in that? Lennon Miller, did you have heart and mouth at any point? A few tweets about that. Because so incidentally, the KMI panel today, I mentioned earlier, they thought that the Jack Butland thing, the goal should have stood, and they thought that the Lennon Miller decision was right, that it shouldn't have been intervened.
Well, again, my initial reaction for the challenge was I can't believe it was a foul, because from my angle, he obviously hooks his leg round, wins the ball, but then of course when you get the beauty of a replay, he then does obviously catch Oscar Cortez in the ankle. It's one of the ones that doesn't look, you know, ultimately pretty, but his leg's it's bent, it's not folded, it's not extended. I don't think it's been much particular force. I think he just tries to sort of hook his leg round to win the ball and tackle him, and then of course with his follow through he catches him on the ankle. So to answer your question, I didn't even think it was a foul at the time. I was surprised a foul was given, but then obviously when you see the replays, but for me, you know what, I'm like with red cards, for me that should never warrant a red
card. For you, Roger?
You're going to hear a phrase you don't often hear on the show. I think the ref got it right.
Based on, because lots of people, and I know we shouldn't really use still images, but people use them for point of contact. I see lots of stuff on social media saying this is endangering Gordon and Adam Eder.
They went through all the proper protocol. I just thought they called it right.
I can't be hypocritical here just because of my own personal feelings. I always say, you know, when fans phone in and say, our refs are out to get my team, or we are the only ones that get bad decisions. You know, I'd always kind of say, well, every team will feel that way, and every team can point to errors that they've had against them. So I'm not going to suddenly abandon that just because it suits me. However, are you and your teammates feeling a wee bit annoyed at the moment if you're talking Lennon Miller, KMI panel, if you're talking Dan Casey? I mean, seriously, I think everybody agreed on that, which we would rarely do. I think there was there not an acknowledgement that you should have got a penalty against Dundee United in the game previous? You starting to feel a bit
Listen, you have these wee laughs to yourself quite regularly when you hear, you know, managers talking in interviews. I think Stephen Robinson said that recently. I think Derek McInnes has seen it recently, you know, stressing that they think they've been the wrong end of some big decisions recently. And again, I think every sort of club, every sort of fan base thinks that they've been on the short end of the stick when it comes to a lot of big decisions recently. I feel like for us, a lot of came in such a short period of time. You know, the four instances you've just mentioned has been in the last sort of five or six games. And I think all have been sort of, you know, the disgruntlement that we've had has been backed up by Willie Collum or the KMI panel that decisions have went against us at that period in time. So, listen, it's unfortunate. You always feel like they kind of, well, you always hope that they sort of balance themselves out throughout the course of the season. So, you know, hopefully we can start to get the rubber again.
And that said, Roger, again, I'd love to abandon it. I'd love to be a bit more selective. But I do always say, when it's other teams as well, the KMI panel, you don't have to agree with it either. No. It's not designed to be set in stone. The last VAR review had Willie Collum disagreeing with some decisions that were on the KMI panel. As an example, I think we all feel the same about the Jack Butland incident, but the panel were split 3-2.
Yeah.
And actually the Lennon Miller incident, they were split 3-2 the other way. It's there. It's great for us. It's a good talking point.
It's
a good point of reference.
Stay chilled. Yeah, stay chilled about it. And I think your show, the VAR show with Willie, is a great development this season. I think the KMI panel is a great development this season. We've complained long and weary in the show about a lack of transparency and openness and clarity. We can't complain anymore. Some of the decisions, and in the last month in particular, Gordon, haven't been great, but I think credit where credit's due to Willie Collum and a sort of a fresher approach from the SFA referee department.
Because as an example, when the next VAR review comes out, Willie Collum might think that the Jack Butland decision was right and might think Lennon Miller's was wrong. Has anyone seen any better footage than I have of Václav Černý?
No,
and
I was asking you about that before we come on here. No, I haven't. And I think people will see what they want to see from that exchange.
It's just far away, isn't it? I just need to be honest. You know,
it is too far away. It's one of these, if you get 32 cameras in the English Premier League, you get HD quality footage of that. Unfortunately, up here we don't.
You've definitely been on the bench by that point. Do you get a good look?
I've seen the same replays as everyone else, and I don't see, there's not one angle that I've seen that shows a conclusive elbow by Václav Černý. So no, I don't think whatever happened warranted a red card. What I will say is I don't know where Tony Watt's yellow card came from, because it doesn't seem as if he's sort of done anything within it. So I think it's one of the ones for the referees. If you know there's an altercation, if you've not seen it, just book it to them.
Can you take Willie down into League One? I want this Scott Allen red card probed.
Well, it was the same referee that sent off Dan Casey against Kilmarnock.
Exactly.
I know, it's interesting. What I am really enjoying, though, because what Scottish football really needed was another vehicle for fans to be hypocritical, Roger. What I've noticed today is that the KMI panel is gospel when it suits people and it's not gospel when it doesn't. It's funny that.
Are you new to Scottish football?
I just knew, but that's what I'm saying. It's a new avenue for us to behave like that.
Yes.
It's really interesting how people are doing that. It was three to two. I mean, they can't decide. Well, but it was like last week, everybody was.
Wait till they discover the five are Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, you and me.
I'm not allowed on it. I don't think I'd just argue too much. Anyway, right, let's go to Stephen and Airdrie. How's it going, Stephen?
Hi, how you doing? Gordon, all right?
Good, how are you?
Hi, first time caller. Ooh. Hi, Andy, Roger.
How are you doing, Stephen?
Good way to end the year on a high, Stephen. What made you call tonight?
Just frustration. Also, I was at the game yesterday. Port Motherwell played really well. But my point is, it's obviously just the, as soon as you arrive at Motherwell, you see the team selection. And you could, it's as if Clement's picked that team as if he's 12 points ahead in the league. He's playing players like Cortez, Dowell, Dessers, who have not been involved for weeks. His decision making for me is just baffling. His excuses week after week. I think he actually underestimated St Mirren and Motherwell. 1.86 was obviously nowhere near good enough, and I was one of the fans who went into the past few weeks going, we win these two games, we get to Old Firm, then potentially we're under 9 points, maybe even six. But looking at it now, it's looking at Thursday, it's like I'm not even looking forward to it anymore for that way, Gordon.
How far does this stuff go, Stephen? You'll be able to tell me, is there ever a scenario where these sides are going to meet and there'll be some fans that have got tickets but won't go? Is that alien? Is that not possible?
I think some fans, yeah, it's a good question, Gordon. I think some fans will think like that, but I think what happens with Rangers and Celtic fans, they'll always go and follow the team, and that's what will always happen. Yeah. But it'll come to Thursday and they'll still continue to go and follow, you know. And it's decision making. Like last week, St Mirren, you might correct me if I'm wrong, guys, Raskin didn't start the game. Potential, if it's a yellow card, they would miss the Celtic game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just a rumour, if that was true.
No, that was true, yeah.
But then it comes on the second half, and then yesterday you're saying to yourself, why would you not select your strongest team? We probably had a stronger bench yesterday than we would have started 11, and Andy will be able to answer the question. But what does the Motherwell team and the manager, when he sees that lineup, what does he think, Andy?
Well, I can't go off what the manager thought, but I can tell you what I thought. And for me, you know, you're looking at over the last month or so who's been Rangers' best players, and I think outside Raskin, I think Vaclav Chernyi and Hamza Egerman are certainly the other two. So I think both of them not being the starting lineup, for me, is clearly a boost. And I think that coupled with the fact that the two replacements, or shall I say two of the seven changes, Oscar Cortez, a guy who's not played a lot of football for a long period of time, the only actual football he's played has been 45 minutes of a B-team game, and Kieran Dow, who I couldn't even tell you, Gordon, the last time he played. It just seems that long ago. So not only that, he's playing in a position that's completely alien to him. Kieran Dow, for me, has never been a right winger. He's never going to be a right winger. So I think I'd be lying if I says it doesn't give you a boost. But then coupled with it, you know, you know that you're going out with the second half with the same game plan of trying to get after Rangers and you know, trying to extend your lead if possible. And then you see the two substitutes come on and you think to yourself, right, okay, you now need to think the other way. You've got two guys that can clearly hurt you. And unfortunately for us, that's exactly what the two substitutions did.
We went over the sort of sports science argument sort of thing earlier on, Roger. I just wonder, I was thinking about this in maybe in a more general sense. Is this any different from when a manager has to take risks tactically, psychologically? Does physically not come into that as well? Now, because in isolation, Stephen points it out, you might need to withhold a player who you think is a suspension risk ahead of a big game. You might need to rotate a player out who could be an injury risk ahead of a big game. But once you are where Rangers are at, the risk is worth taking, basically.
But those decisions, you're talking about risk. You're talking about managers making decisions at risk to the benefit of the team. Now, Philippe Clement is fighting to save his job. There's very little point, in my opinion, of Philippe Clement thinking two or three games down the line. Philippe Clement's unlikely to have two or three games down the line. I remember Gordon Strachan saying once that he had a team in his top drawer, and it was a team he would pick, to use his words, if your life depended on it, those were the 11 players that you would trust to go out and do it for you. I don't think Philippe Clement is picking teams, too much drama and say if his life depended on it, his job depends on it, and he's picking the wrong teams. I don't think he appreciates the dire straits that he's currently in.
How would you rate Rangers' chances, Stephen? Because I kind of conscious of the fact that this is maybe the last chance we'll really speak about it before the game. We'll obviously be off for the next couple of days. How would you rate Rangers' chances of getting something on Thursday?
Good question, Gordon. I think looking at it now, there's probably no chance. A lot of Rangers fans are probably be feeling like getting into the game and expecting absolutely nothing. But the way it's went this season, it wouldn't surprise me if we did get something. But again, obviously listening to the calls earlier on, I do feel it just covers people, or just covers the cracks of what Clement's been doing this season. And one of the big things for me yesterday at the game, obviously I know when you're watching the stand, it's a wee bit different. But Andy was obviously playing in the game, but nothing down the right hand side, Gordon, for the first 45 minutes. I think we had one attack in the first 45 minutes. And what's frustrating for me is, can Clement no see that? He doesn't tweak things in the games either, for me. He doesn't make decisions that probably Brendan Rodgers will make in games. That's the difference. And waiting to half time, sometimes it is too late, but you can see during the game there's things not working right, and he doesn't change it. And it's frustrating, Gordon, especially when you're watching the stand. But getting into Thursday, I just don't know. I really don't know what I'm expecting. I'm looking forward to it.
Is that something you noticed? The Rangers could not go down the right side, or
yeah, you know, we actually spoke about it as a group after the game. I felt that the big thing we sort of came away from was I thought obviously the introduction is the substitutions help, but I thought Rangers played with a much quicker tempo in the second half. I don't think I'm giving away any home secrets here. I think everyone knows the sort of shape you play in these games more often than not. You kind of got that box midfield, we try and lock Rangers and Celtic, whoever it may be, down the one side, and we try and contain them and try to force them down the line. I thought Rangers played into their hands in the first half. Anytime we tried to lock them one side, I thought they stayed there. I thought we forced turnovers and then worked out the other way. I thought in the second half, the big difference was they played with a much quicker tempo and they switched the play a lot quicker as well, which then forced us to move side to side within our shape and then created gaps within that. But then I felt that once it went to each, Gordon, I felt they kind of just resorted back to the first half and then started to play quite direct. And no, correct me if I'm wrong, out with the Vaclav-Cherny one that gets cleared off the line, they don't really then create a chance within the game, I thought, once it went to each. And for me, that's because they then resulted to being a little bit more direct again and just sort of forcing balls into the box.
Do you remember what I said earlier on about the mentality of the players, Andy? It was almost, remember on Boxing Day, come out for the second half, there was a couple of changes, and they bombarded St Mirren, and they got the equaliser after an hour, and you were expecting them to charge on, and it was almost as if the Rangers players thought, oh, well, you know, we've done it now, we're level, that will do us. It was the same yesterday when they get back to 2-2. It was almost as if they thought, oh, no, his manager will be happy with that. We've got a point away from home. For Rangers, that is not good enough. And it's almost as if Philip Clement and the players don't appreciate that's not good enough.
See the question we put to Stephen about, you know, what chance do you give Rangers on Thursday? Is it? I keep losing track of the days. Obviously, Celtic are favourites. And obviously, you know, we know why that is. So I don't need to really explore them more. Trying to look at it the other way. On one hand, surely Rangers win one eventually. Might be something that keeps a bit of hope in Stephen. And I think, is it one in the last, it's only one in the last 12 meetings that haven't been separated by that one goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we sometimes fall into a trap of thinking it's going to be a wider margin than it turns out to be? Or actually, do you believe that to be the case this time? Because it is, again, it's still at Ibrox with no Celtic fans.
Well, you will have outlandish predictions before kickoff from Hugh on Thursday. I will say just now Celtic will win the game. I couldn't, in all good conscience, sit here and build a case for Rangers winning the game.
Yeah, cause don't get me wrong, I am perfectly aware that they have to win one at some point. Isn't a particularly compelling case.
By a law of averages, you're absolutely correct, Gordon. I just don't fancy it being this one.
You know, just when Stephen says he fears the worst, Andy, do you think it will turn out to be that justified?
I don't think it's going to be by a wide margin. I don't. I think Celtic could win the game. Potentially, I think they're going into the game as heavy favourites. A draw wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. One thing I will say, you know, you've talked about not only one game in the last 12 has been by the more than one goal margin. I've actually found myself saying it quite a lot recently, that you're coming away from a lot of these games saying, by the way, Celtic didn't actually play well there. They still won the game. So talking about the law of averages, is there going to be one of these games where Celtic put in the performance that we know Celtic can in these games?
I thought they played well against you boys in Boxing Day. I saw them yesterday myself. They played well against St Johnson. They've reacted well to those drop points at Tannadice before Christmas. I think they're in a good place going to Ibrox.
Thank you very much to Stephen. RW says, I've had my season ticket for as long as I can remember. We have four and I have given my ticket away for free. Never in my life have I felt so disconnected with Rangers. What about this teaser? Can you name the last seven players who've scored in an Old Firm and a Dundee derby? Great question. Stuart Armstrong, Claudio Caniggia,
Charlie Adam.
Yes.
Billy Dodds.
Yes, and we'll get the remaining three hopefully after these. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the final Clyde One Super Scoreboard of the year as well. Let's see what we can squeeze in between now and us disappearing. 0141 951 1025. Quickly on your teaser, very topical. I'm actually going to the Dundee Derby on the 2nd. I appreciate that most people listening will be more focused on another derby taking place that day.
A ding dong Dundee Derby. I'll then
out in the wilderness.
My daughter works in one of the biggest bars in Dundee city centre. Mobbed yesterday for Dundee United beating Aberdeen, and she's now got two Dundee derbies, one in the league,
in the cup,
one in the Scottish Cup at the start of Dundee.
Brilliant. Since 2000, can you name the last seven players who've scored in an Old Firm and a Dundee derby? Stuart Armstrong, United and Celtic, Charlie Adam, Dundee and Rangers, Billy Dodds, and Claudio Caniggia. I'll take another guess each.
Barry Robson?
No. Great link though.
Stephen Thompson?
New managerial.
Yeah. Raith Rovers.
Raith Rovers, what did you make of that?
I think Barry's been looking to get back in since he had that first taste of it at Aberdeen. Raith weren't exactly looking for a manager until
3 in a season.
Sacramento Republic came in and pinched Neil Collins back to the United States. So, yeah, be interesting. I'm actually going to his first game at Somerset Park.
Nice.
Against his old Celtic midfield partner, Scott Brown, on Saturday. So, yeah, be interesting to see how he gets on.
And I'm sure he won't, and all the best to Barry Robson, but so early in the season that, in theory, Raith Rovers could go for a fourth manager in a season.
Oh,
it's just quite
well,
as...
Listen, I've just given him a 2.5 year deal. Listen, don't be saying
I'm obviously tongue-in-cheek, but it's because they get rid of one after one game, and then the next guy suddenly gets his release clause triggered before Christmas. It's a crazy situation, but anyway. He's not one of the answers to the teaser. That was a very long way of saying that.
Stephen Thompson?
No.
Ooh. Oh, should we just say him then?
No, no.
We're going to leave it at last.
Nacho Novo?
Yes. Okay, you get two to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. Anything else you want to get off your chest before the year ends?
No? If we're talking about weekend's fixtures, I was really unhappy with the decision to give Danny Armstrong a second booking.
Oh, you and Derek McInnes, by the looks of it. 8 for the season before we even reach the turn of the year for Kelly.
Yeah, and listen, I'm on the side of the referees for a lot of them. I think a lot of them were fair. But for me, I thought that was a really poor decision. I agree with Derek McInnes. I think Danny Armstrong does everything he can to avoid the defender. I think he's got every right to slide to the right hand side of him to try and block a clearance that could potentially lead to a goal. And I think the only contact that's made is Iredale's follow through.
I was equally interested in Hart's interest in Danny Armstrong. Whether they get him in January, whether they take him in a pre-contract, is a sort of, Hearts did it a lot last summer, James Penrise, Jan Danda, Blair Spittle, all in under freedom of contract. Moving for Danny Armstrong, interesting.
That's not even the most interesting news that's coming for Hearts transfer rumours.
Yes, let's do it, let's tee up the transfer. So it opens on the 1st of January, business hours. So when we return, Xander Clark to Hibs. I like the look of that rumour. Yep. Sorry, I don't mean to offend anyone who's upset by that, just from a sort of box office perspective.
Very interesting. A lot of players have played for both teams. Not too many go direct from one to the other.
And especially because if that happened, are you talking about a guy who some people feel should be Hearts number one, and he presumably would go and become Hibs number one?
I know what you mean. At the start of the year, he was ahead of Craig Gordon in terms of Hearts and in terms of Scotland. He went to the Euros in the summer ahead of Craig Gordon. But Craig Gordon has come back in, he's got into the team, and he's, I know he didn't cover himself in glory with Ross County's second goal yesterday, but he's possibly been Hearts' best player this season at the age of 41. So Xander Clark's had to be patient. It's awkward if you're a goalie and you're not playing. You're either in or you're out. So Hibs, I think, would improve the goalkeeping position if they signed Xander Clark.
Old teammate of yours, would you be watching on with interest if that move was to happen at some point?
Oh, listen, I'd be very surprised. Very, very rarely do you see people cross the border when it comes to these rivalries, but directly, that is rare. You'll definitely know the Hannah Rack. When was the last time somebody went straight from Hibs to Hearts or vice versa?
No, I can't. I mean, there's a few. Michael Stewart played for both. Darren Jackson played for both. Alan Gordon back in the day, but I can't think of any. Brian Hamilton was another. I can't think of any who have gone direct from one to the other.
That would be a real shock.
Just trying to think. Adam Eckers played the fullback.
That's right, yeah. Years,
but I don't think he went direct.
It would be a fascinating one. Anything else that you think we need to pay close attention to? Is it all about the games on the second and then? Because, of course, no winter break this year.
Yeah, I mean, the games are coming so thick and fast, Gordon. You know, we had games there 22nd, 26th, 29th. We've now got games the 2nd, the 5th. There's a midweek card next midweek. I think Celtic play on the Wednesday night at home to Dundee United. Rangers are at Dens on the Thursday night. It's quite remarkable. The Scottish Cup will be upon us, but before we know what's happening, you boys, your mother will await St Johnson. Rangers, Fraserburgh, Celtic, O'Malley. People like the winter break. Let's just get a football.
How are the old legs dealing with the schedule? Because for those of you who watch the live stream, if you go right back to the start of the live stream, just when the show starts, you'll see Andy's not in his seat, and it's because he was stretching his calf in the corner of the studio. You coping okay, old man?
Oh, listen, my age is a bit higher than the average, so I would quite like a winter break, to be honest with you. But listen, I'm enjoying it. You know, I've touched wood. I've been very fortunate throughout my career with injuries. out with last year, to be honest with you. Last year and probably the year before with Hearts. So, no, the fact that I feel fit this year and regular playing feels great.
We'll do this quickly. How does the title race look as we head into the new year? Over, done, dusted?
No, I think Ayr could get back at Falkirk.
Very good. How does the European race look? Just too tight?
Far too tight.
Wide open.
I think you could predict anyone.
Dundee United, the first half of the season success story, arguably, when it looked so long like it would be Aberdeen.
100%. Jim Goodwin's done terrifically well. Any newly promoted side
behind Aberdeen.
Yeah, yeah. They could get into Europe.
How does the relegation picture look as we head into the new year? Do you know the stats about teams being bottom at the new year and so on?
It's 4 in the last 6 being relegated.
Okay, so it's St Johnstone currently.
Oh, I think Aberdeen's start will be enough to keep them up.
The Hearts are very close for a big team.
Hearts are perilously close for a big team. You can get out it, as Hibs have shown with 5 wins from 6. You have to look at the ones that are down there just now. St Johnstone, you would worry for. It's four straight defeats, I should say. Simo Vallecari needs reinforcements and he needs lots of them in January. St Johnstone's future might well depend on how much they're willing to spend in January to get the reinforcements in.
Okay, Nate, let's finish off the teaser. Getting a bit emotional with the year coming to an end with you here. Since 2000, the last 7 players have scored in an Old Firm and a Dundee derby. Stuart Armstrong, Charlie Adam, Billy Dodds, Nacho Novo, Claudio Caniggia.
No.
Gavin Ray?
No.
Was that free kick?
Oh, yes, aye.
That free kick?
Yeah.
Charlie McGrew?
Yes, Charlie McGrew. And you've got the last one, surely.
On you go,
Andy. I refuse to say it, you can say it.
It is our very own Mark Wilson.
It is indeed. If you thought his goal against Rangers was calamitous, go and look at his one for Dundee United against Dundee. It's a free kick and it bounces about 4 times before it goes into the net. So we got there in the end. Thank you, Andy Haldy. Thank you, Roger Hanna. And thank you, bigger than ever before, not only for listening tonight, but for listening right throughout 2024, the year that on the pitch delivered all sorts. Celtic winning the league and the Scottish Cup, Dundee United winning the championship and getting promoted. Scotland went to a Euros. We went to a Euros. I saw things that no man should ever see with Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson. Now, the football was a bit disappointing, but who cares? And the new season very much back with a bang as well. It has been a joy. As if all that wasn't enough, we have heard some absolute gold, some madness, some chaos on these phone lines, and that's why we do it every night. It is always a joy. So as this year comes to an end, in advance from us to you, Happy New Year. We will see you in the second. There are a few small football matches that day that you might be aware of. Take care of yourselves and those around you over the coming days, and we'll speak to you soon.